Welcome to the Lisa Show's The Council of Moms, a place where our kids may not think we have any friends, but this proves we do. So welcome. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark. I'm the mother of five. I have kids from 16 to almost 26, and they're all learning how to be independent adults in our society. And I get to keep my mouth shut more than I get to give advice. The time for that has passed. So this is where we can talk about all of it. So I love it. I love the Council of Moms and the way that we can come together. I have loved having the conversations with individual people that I meet out and about and also online. So if you look up the Council of Moms and the Lisa Show on Facebook, Instagram, and in the comments here and this YouTube presentation, I would love to be a part of the conversations that you're having with your own councils. You know, the things that you think, you know, we don't really talk about this as much as we should. Those kinds of topics and questions are the ones that I like to talk about and what we're going to be talking about today. Now, I'm going to really dive into the Council of Moms today with a really kind of a difficult question, one that I think that people have wondered about and maybe had conversations about in their with their family and their close friends, but one that's a little different than we have done. So I have assembled, I think, the right team. So here on the council today is
Emily Campbell. I'm the mom of three. I'm in all stages of motherhood. I have an adult 21-year-old, 17-year-old with very severe disabilities, and an 8-year-old. So I'm all over the place in my phase of motherhood. I've got it all.
Yeah. I'm Amy Hackworth, and I have three boys at ages 18, 20, and 10. So some adults-ish and a little guy at home still.
Awesome. I'm Liza Wolfgram, and I have two daughters, 24, and my youngest just turned 19. So I feel like there's the teen at the end, right?
Yeah.
So there's still a teen. Teen adult, but I still look at it as teen, but technically adults. And I'm in this stage where I've like left school behind and I'm really like relearning and growing and figuring things out as a mom with young single adults.
Yeah. It's different.
It's totally different.
It's different than I thought it was going to be.
I feel like it's like going back to your 20s, but you're old. Like it's like starting back over, but then it's like you have all this wisdom, but you're old. So it's not fair.
But you feel the same inside.
Yeah, it's
in
like
a lot
starting.
Of ways.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, like I talk to a lot of people about the Lisa Show because I love it and I love doing it and because I get to have interesting conversations with interesting people. And so it's funny, like just being in the grocery store or just like being out and about and somebody's like, you know what you should talk about? And I'm like, go on. Like, I'm right there with you. Like, go on. Mm-hmm. And so here are one of those. And this is one that I've been saving a little bit to the side because I'm like, this is tricky and we can answer it in a lot of ways. But I think we've got the right, I know we have the right group here. When life has been really hard for a long time and the hits seem to just keep coming, how do you find joy and create joy for your kids? Oh, boy. This is a big one.
Awesome.
I know. And I promised that I wasn't going to make Emily cry.
Yeah.
But share whatever you feel like you would to a good friend, you know, in your own council of moms. I think I'll go ahead and go rip the Band-Aid off. a lot of people ask me about this because I had five kids at home full time when my husband was diagnosed with ALS. And as he slowly deteriorated over 4.5 years, and then as he ultimately passed away, talk about life getting hard and the hits keep coming and they don't start. And you don't even know. At the beginning, we were so full of hope. And well, if anybody can beat it, he can beat it. This incurable disease. Sure. And so there were a lot of stages of development of my kids and their acceptance, as well as my own personal suffering and my husband's. And so we had joy during that time. That's the short answer. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that had to do with what we were looking for and how we chose to live. But none of us escaped the hard parts of it or made it easier, if that makes any sense. And so I've thought a lot about this question. How do you find it and create joy? And I think the first thing that I will say is what my late husband did, which was he gave all of our kids and myself permission to laugh about the situation, to joke about it, and said, you know, we can be upset, but also we can also just have everyday moments too. And so we looked to him like to set the tone for that because it was happening to him, the worst thing. And so when I think about creating joy, which is the real question, because like I think there's the assumption we all go through hard times. To do that, it's by being yourself, really, right? Like my late husband made a lot of jokes. He made lip sync videos. Like not everybody does that, but he just did what he always had done in order to create that joy and just to not give it up so easily. Even though nobody would have like faulted him if he did. And that's more of a philosophical answer, but I feel like it's a good way to like talk about this in a way that's relatable to everybody though, right? Like you can feel horrible and feel joy too. Definitely. And I think just starting that and teaching your kids that, it was a lesson that I didn't know we were giving them at the time, but I can see it now.
Yeah. It's like, it's a philosophical answer though that you can put into practice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
that you had to.
Yes. For me, I feel like this is where mom acting skills come in really handy. you know, like in our house, we're getting close to like a decade of constant, like every year we have a new major, major crisis in our family that would break a normal person. I mean, I am a normal person and I'm definitely broken, but I'm doing all those are small things like what you mentioned.
And to back up a little bit without like saying anything that you're not comfortable with.
Oh, I'm comfortable with everything, as you know. Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of people are like, yeah, but you don't know my situation. And it's like, well, Emily has a nonverbal.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest, most visible thing in our family is our son who's severely disabled. He's just about turned 17 and he is nonverbal, diapered, dozens of seizures a day. He's very aggressive and cognitively he's like 18 months old. So
he's so sweet and we all love him.
Real hard. Yeah. And he destroys things and he destroys people's bodies and he doesn't mean to, but he doesn't sleep. He has seizures all night. That has been like, of course, like the paramount of our family struggles. But then, you know, I also have a husband who has a very unusual career that's like a roller coaster, and sometimes it's amazing with these cool perks and very exciting, and then sometimes it's in the toilet, and we're like, what did we do? We ruined our lives, and our children are messed up, but, you know. And my husband was sick a couple years ago. There's so many things. And then last year, both of our dads died within 5 weeks of each other, unexpectedly. Like, we just every year are having these things. But the acting skills really come in handy. And I don't mean to say that like I'm not genuine, but I feel like sometimes for my kids to create joy, I kind of have to put on this like happy front, not in a fake way, but say, hey, you know what? It's okay. We can do this. It's hard, but we're going to move on, which I totally believe and is true. But I remember a lot when we're going through it. When we're in the thick of it, I remember my kids, their struggles are not my struggles, the things that are going on in our family right now, they're going to move on from that. They're going to grow up and have their own lives and have their own other problems. Hopefully nothing as severe as we've all gone through together in our house, but they don't have to worry about their brother long-term. That's not their responsibility. That's mine. And they don't have to worry about dad's career. That's dad's responsibility, not theirs, you know? And so I don't want to like project onto them. I think
or that, work through those feelings with them.
Right. I think that that's a big thing, right, is to not make our own problems either within our marriage or within our careers or even with other siblings. I don't want to make it a problem for my other kids. And so I try to be as positive as I can. I try to remove them from the things that they don't need to be worried about. And little things, man, we are always trying to go do something fun, go on a day trip, go sit outside and play and just be fun. I seek things like that just to try to lighten the load. Oh, and humor. I mean, this is so not kosher, but we make lots of jokes about disability in our family.
We make lots of jokes about death.
Exactly. Same. Like we are.
That make other people uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
But not us.
And we, this is how we cope. Like we
There's
just.
There's a little
when Connor,
joy
our son,
being in like an inside, having inside jokes with your family.
Sure. He'll open the fridge and pull out a shelf of glass condiments and they're just all over the floor, right? And instead of acting like this is some catastrophe, I'm just like, oh my gosh, let's make condiment soup. You know, like we have to laugh about it. And I do. I laugh about a lot of things and I just say, oh, it's just a normal Tuesday. You know, otherwise I may never get out of my bed ever again because it's so hard. It's so much.
I just wanted to kind of go back on something that you said. You said you have to put on the front. But, you know, when I listen to you and I hear it, I think it's just you being strong.
I don't know.
I think so because I think, like what you're saying, I agree with on you don't want your kids to have to take all that on. And
yeah.
I always think of it like the one thing you don't want is for your child who needs that help and support to lean on you and then you both fall over.
Yeah.
Right?
And I don't want them to absorb my anxiety about my own problems that they're going to not have to deal with someday, right?
And so I think there's a lot to do with being strong so that, like, if you want your child to face things, you have to be able to face what your child's going through, which sometimes is hard for people. And it's like, but next to your child as a mother, like a mother who's all in, right? A mother who loves your child. Nobody else is going to feel that same pain than you. Like only you, I think there's only you in the whole world that can at least, you may not know exactly what they're going through, but you'll feel that pain more than anyone in the world. And if you want them to be able to address it and face it and find the joy, you have to be able to face it too with them. And one of the things when I think of, first of all, sorry to that mother, it's so hard to go through hit after hit. But I think with all these hits, there's a couple things I was thinking about. One is there's like mourning.
Yeah.
There's mourning in all this. And I think sometimes people think, no, mourning's not in this. No, there's definitely mourning. You're mourning something, whether it's a loss or if you're going through helping your child, there's a mourning of what could have been there, what would have. And I think it's very important that there's time and like there's mourning, there's healing and there's recovery. And I think it's so important that there's space and time to be able to allow this for your children, for yourself. But like you're saying, you just have to be a lot stronger through it and be able to face it. I'm sorry about your father's. Me and my husband, same last year, 3 weeks apart.
Yeah.
And then his mom had died 8 months before that.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I kind of get like you just feel like. It just, and in mind, we have.
Like, what else is coming, right?
We have death
never
and
one
then culture.
Thing, though, is it? It's never one thing.
What did
at
you
a
say?
Time.
You said it, what?
There's death, but then there's like the layer of culture that we add, that we have to death. And so, yeah, it's never one thing. But I think there's a saying that I really like in my family. I always tell them, don't just go through something because that's in vain. Like, don't just go through something, grow through something.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And so whenever, you know, we talk at home, it's always like, we're growing through this or, you know, you're growing through that. Because I do believe there's growth in everything that you do. You can find growth, right?
For sure.
But I wouldn't want them to just go through something unless they could eventually figure out, like, what they grew through.
I agree.
And that's I love what you said about allowing yourself to mourn. I think we don't, you know, we think maybe we could for a little bit and then we got to pull ourselves together and get moving. Like we judge ourselves so much for our feelings that we think are not okay or not allowed. And then we just prolong the pain really instead of saying, this is how I feel right now. And it's okay. Giving ourselves permission to actually feel something. I think we'd encourage our friends to do it. You know, oh my gosh, this is so hard what you're going through. Of course you're feeling bad, but you know, I think what we tell ourselves is that, okay, that was enough. Like you should be over it by now. It's time to pull yourself together and get.
And if you don't feel it, you're going to feel it later.
Yeah. Totally.
It's going to, I mean,
one way or another.
Down. Yeah.
And I'm still feeling it all the time. Cause like I'm not done with these hard things that our family is going through. We're not through it, you know? Yeah. And so it's an ongoing process. And I want to feel joy still, but I'm also very real. I'm totally honest about my feelings all the time. And when I'm feeling negative and heartbroken or disappointed or, you know, like I'm all alone, I will let myself feel that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to wallow and just waste away? Or am I going to try to find the joy, make the best of a bad situation? I went through that choice when I was really young. When I was 20, I had a really serious boyfriend who took his life. And that was, at that time, I thought I could never go through anything as hard as this. This is devastating, right? And I realized at that time, I can either let this totally wreck me and push me into a dark place, or I can let this be edifying and somehow like help let it sanctify me in a way where I grow through it.
Yeah, grow through
instead of going through it. And I feel like I had to make a conscious choice.
Wow.
And I did. And I was like, okay, it doesn't matter what's happening. You might lose your husband to ALS, you know, you might lose a baby, you might, whatever it is, it can either break you or you can grow through it and just make it a somehow a growth experience. It's hard to do.
I like what you said, and you mentioned about culture, and I think that is something to, there were so many observations that my kids, again, on different areas of development they made. When Christopher passed away, they were 12 to 22. So talk about like different stages of five kids. And different, like, how they saw the life. And the way that they look at joy, I think your family culture has a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't, if you don't know what your family culture is, it definitely reveals itself, I think, after trauma. And there is an opportunity to choose. And I think that we have a lot of societal pressures to be like, okay, well, that thing would wipe me out, so... You know, I don't even want to think about it. And then there's others who have had to think about it. How has your family culture then, do you think, changed and have been affected by the way that you see like hardships and trauma, but also then what role joy plays in your family culture? How has that changed?
I was thinking about what Emily said, you know, when you had this hard experience when you were 20, which sounds gut-wrenching, mm-hmm. and you thought, oh, that is going to be the hardest thing I've ever done. And then
and it,
probably
it's not.
It hasn't been, right? Yeah. And so I think about that in terms of the hard things that we have been through in our family. You do grow, right? And you do look back and say, oh, I thought that was the worst thing that could ever happen. And now that happens and I'm like, all right, I can take that in stride. We've been here before. We've done this before.
And I can even see the good that came from it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I think that's really powerful and maybe a gift we can give to our kids through our family culture. But that's been maybe a gift of hard times for me is to realize, maybe looking back on the growth to see. And in terms of joy, I feel a little, I think I feel pressure if I think I have to create joy, but I'm totally at ease finding joy.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Creating and, or finding, those are two very different
points. Yeah, yeah. And so I feel like when I'm with my family, you know, even if things are stressful or, you know, kids are fighting or whatever, we will eventually find joy. We will, you know, and I can find joy in them, even in their stage of life. If they're sassy, I just think, oh my gosh, look at you right now in this stage of life. So, but if I feel pressure to create joy for my kids, that's almost never worked for me. You know, I have an idea about this fun thing we're going to do and I have expectations and hopes and plans. Yeah. No one wants to play along with that.
No one wants to start the family band.
Yeah, I know. No one wants to be in the family band.
And no one wants to play pickleball or take pickleball lessons with kids. No, I know of what you speak.
Yes. And maybe that's our stage of kids, right? I think it's easier when kids are younger to create magical moments for them. But if my job is to find joy, on it. I can definitely find those beautiful moments.
And maybe like give their attention to it.
Yeah. Ooh.
I like the question you brought up. And I think... like you were asking like the family culture of how to kind of get through this.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. I think one thing is to be able to identify it's a family thing that you're going through. I think sometimes, like, I think if you can identify, okay, this isn't just me, like, it's very important to notice when your family is going through something and it's not just individuals. Mm-hmm. And since we've all been through family issues and we've been able to now identify it, I think that's so great, because now it's like we are going through something. Oh, so and then it's like now I'm gonna have to address this like a different way, because it's all of us. One of the feelings I have with what you're saying is I've found peace and joy through the healing. It may start off not the funnest, but as you go through it, like, I've really been able to navigate it and start to find peace and, like, reestablish kind of my thoughts and my how I want to teach and approach things with my family more, because I'm learning how to heal and I'm learning, like, well, that's not going to work, or we got to change this. And I think one of the things I learned is, like, when you're mourning with your family, people, like, I think you mentioned it, or you did, they're saying, I've learned some people expect you have to mourn a certain way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I was like, no, you don't. Because it is, like, you are supposed to mourn with those who mourn, but you're not supposed to tell another person how they should be mourning.
Amen.
Or what or what you accept, or how much time it should be, or what your child should be feeling. Yeah. I think it's really important that if you're going to mourn with those who mourn, that you're realizing they are mourning. And you're either going to be there to mourn with them and go through this, or just kind of step to the side so that they can take care of their family and push on through, because mourning is a process. And I think whenever you go through any trauma with your family, at least with me and my, like, when I think about my kids, this, it's not a closed case. It's an open door policy. This is going to come back several times throughout their life in different stages of their life. And so you have to realize that, especially as a mother, it's like, it's open door policy, and we are going to revisit this when they need to revisit it and not when we don't. But I just think it's good. I think from that point, you can start identifying the culture you even want to start having and build.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. Do you talk about these things? Do you joke about them? Do you not? Do you hold, like people always say, you know, you got to hold space for that. Meaning, are you going to sit and whatever they want to say, you're going to be able to listen?
You can have it. I was thinking about the question, and it sounds like a mom who, like we all do, maybe needs to love herself, you know, and give herself a break.
Doesn't she sound like tired? Like,
she sounds tired. Like the hits keep coming.
The hits seem to just keep coming.
Yeah. And like, it's okay to be exhausted, and it's okay to feel sad about it. I know I said something similar to that before, but as you were talking, I thought about the tone of that question, and we all want to create something so beautiful for our families. And I think sometimes trusting that things work out, if that doesn't feel too trite to say, but that it's okay to have it hurt and be in the hard. It's okay to mourn and wish things were different. It's okay to, I mean, as much as it stinks, to suffer through accepting that life didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to. You didn't anticipate hit after hit, that the hits just keep coming. That's not what you signed up for. That's not what you hoped for. It's okay to
especially
feel
not for your
sad
kids.
About it.
Yeah, I really feel like if you don't do that, like if you don't give your kids or yourself permission to just be mad about it, it's going to backfire. Like in our house,
if you can't mourn with your kids, they'll
and I've
keep it from you.
I've tried a lot to let my kids express their feelings about their brother. It's really hard. When my daughter was younger, like middle school and younger, she would get embarrassed sometimes if she brought a new friend over and she felt a little like sheepish that this, you know, older boy with a binky and a diaper, you know, is running around. And I never wanted to say, oh, no, you're going to be so proud of him and you're going to tell everyone about him. I said, hey, you're right. That is a little weird. And it does feel a little embarrassing sometimes. And that's okay. Or like now he's got this little brother that's way younger than him. And, you know, as a 15-year-old, when Jacob was 6, he was hurting Jacob all the time. And he would get mad and say, I just hate him. And I'm like, you know what? I know exactly how you feel. And I wouldn't get mad at him for that. I knew he needed to express that. And I don't ever want to force them to feel a certain way or get mad at them for their very normal, natural, expected feelings. Or, you know, they'll say things like, oh, he's bugging me so bad, or why does he have to do this, or whatever. And I'm like, buddy, I'm right there with you, but I'm his mommy and I love him and I adore him and he's beautiful. And, you know, and it's my job to take care of him. So you're okay to feel that way.
Do you know what's so interesting about your answer and what I hear in each one of you is that the way that you're talking about it is like a way that you're modeling how to deal with hard times to your kids. Mm-hmm. They say, and I definitely have my mom's voice in my head, but that our kids have our voice. They know what we think. You know, I'm in that stage of parenting where my kids will say, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. And I've thought about this. And I'm just like, I don't get to say anything because they do know what I'm going to say. But we do have an opportunity, though, to show them and point them to the joy, like maybe not create it all the time, but to say, oh, to point out, oh, did you see this really nice thing that happened to us today? Or that joke that you said was really, really funny. Or that blessing that we did not think we could. Do you see how God is looking out for us? Like, that's point, huge. Do you see how this prayer was answered? This one wasn't, this was. It, but like pointing out the good too, because it's so easy, especially with trauma or with horrible things when you're so exhausted and they just keep coming, you can forget to look at that and just kind of redirecting the kids to like, yeah, but also this. Yes, this might not be the hardest thing that ever happens to you. For sure, other things will happen. Isn't it sad? But aren't you glad knowing that you know how to survive it, that you have these people to go through, you're actually not alone?
Yeah. Looking at the silver lining is really huge. That sounds super like oversimplifying it.
But and don't kind you think we've always like just pushed the silver line? Like, well, you can't look at the silver. Well, sometimes no,
it's
can
huge.
You?
Yeah. And I just remembered this, that yesterday I was talking with my little now 8-year-old about Connor, his brother. We were talking about when we helped build the sensory room at the high school, and my little Jacob got to go there with me like every day and help put all this stuff together. And he got to take some toys home and all these things. Like, he got some really good perks about that. And he goes, I just like being Connor's brother. I never thought I would hear him say that until he was way older, you know? And same thing, like with my husband's weird career, sometimes it's kind of like in the dumps. But then my daughter will talk about all the times she's traveled the world with him and all the fun things she's gotten to do and the people she's gotten to meet. And that makes it kind of worth it during the hard times, you know? So I think silver linings, it might sound so simpleton, but there's something to it. And that's finding the joy, even in a totally awful situation.
I love it. We're run out of time, and that's a great place to end on. But I want to give everyone a chance to end on, too. When someone comes to you and just says, it's just relentless, how do I find joy? What are your final thoughts?
Mine is compassion, self-compassion, to love yourself. All the things that you just said you would say to your child, like, yeah, I know it hurts. I know this is hard, to say those things to yourself. And you'll find joy when you take care of yourself like that, when you talk to yourself the way you would talk to a friend and love yourself through that hard time.
Mine is too, just a couple things, hope, faith, and just like push on through. I think it's really important that in order to find that joy, they have to have faith in you, in God, and they have to believe in something.
Yeah.
There has to be something that they have faith in. And if they have that faith and hope in it, then they can just take the first step to move forward in it and grow through it. And so I think that it's just really important that as they're trying to find the joy, they just need to first just have some hope they can do it.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And I think as moms too, when our kid comes and they don't have hope, that they can borrow yours.
Yeah.
I would want to tell people who are going through it with no end in sight that it's not for nothing. Like, you may not see any wisdom in it now or feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but truly good can always come out of like a horrible situation. And I tell myself that a lot, that like our situation is the way it is and it's not for no reason. It's not for nothing. Mm-hmm. That something will come of it someday and it won't always be this way.
Yeah.
But you got to push on through, like mm-hmm. she says.
A little perspective. You know? And I would just like finally add is make sure that you have your own support.
Yeah.
To through it so that when you can't,
time.
You don't have the hope, you don't see the joy,
yes.
and you know it's there, you trust that it is,
yeah.
and you're steering the ship that way, that you have other people, your own good trusted friends with
yes.
different life experiences that can help you and remind you of it too.
I love it.
That's what saved
huge.
Me.
Mom's
so.
Counsel?
Literally.
Yeah, huh, interesting. Yeah.
That's
counsel
like the
moms,
difference between
huh?
life and death for like a mom going through it.
But
truly.
It is.
It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's not just lip service. It's not no. just a show.
No.
It's
yeah.
also a lifestyle.
Yes.
The
and
Council
a life
of
support.
Moms. Absolutely. Thank you for listening and watching. We want to hear from you. Please leave a comment on the YouTube page, on Facebook, Instagram. Send us your questions, or if you'd like to continue the conversation, we would love to hear from you. What are ways that you find joy when the hits keep coming and they don't stop? Thanks. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark. Thank you to our Council of Moms.